Thank you so much for having me in your kitchen today.
Oh, my pleasure, Louise. Thank you.
What exactly are we going to cook?
Well, I'm going to use a tin of chickpeas, like every single bit of that tin of chickpeas, to show you how to make two simple dishes.
Jane Easton is the food and cookery coordinator for Viva, a UK-based vegan campaigning charity. She's going to try and convince my taste buds why they should go vegan.
The first dish is mayonnaise, using the liquid that we normally throw down the sink, which is called chickpea brine or aquafaba. And the second dish is a kind of like a more sophisticated take on hummus. We're going to make a beany dip with the chickpeas, but I'm going to add chopped artichoke heart and sun-dried tomatoes and fresh basil to it.
In terms of health benefits, is there anything that you can say about pulses?
They're a whole food, they're a plant-based food, they're cholesterol-free, and they go through our system a lot slower than many other foods, which means that they're good for our blood sugar. We've now got rising levels of obesity, of diabetes type 2, of heart disease, of many cancers, and yet it's now been proven that a good quality vegan diet can actually prevent those or even treat some of those conditions. So they're obviously doing something right.
Yeah, so a carry on with the cookery lesson here. What's happening now?
Well, I'm just spooning about 3 tablespoons of aquafaba, which is the chickpea brine that I mentioned earlier. And I'm also going to add a little bit of lemon juice and some cider vinegar to this mix as well. And I'm going to whiz it all up.
Okay, my cookery lesson will continue in a couple of minutes, and the recipe is also going to be posted online. But to find out why farming pulses is so important for our environment, I've come to meet Holly Templer from Bristol Friends of the Earth. Thanks for chatting to me, Holly. Do you mind if we start with the real basics and tell me, what does the UN Declaration Year of Pulses actually mean for the average person?
For me, I think I'm somebody who cares about climate change, and I've been trying to reduce my impact on that for a long time. And it's something that I'd never really thought about before. We've become used to thinking about choosing locally sourced food to reduce the emissions from transport, but we also need to think about other things. And pulses are a great source of protein compared to meat for reducing your carbon footprint.
If we could stick with the UN Declaration for the moment, what does it mean on a more global level?
Yeah, so the UN are celebrating pulses this year because it's cheap, it's sustainable, it's a great source of protein, as I said, as well as amino acids. It can be used to feed people as well as animals. So they're hoping to increase those trade links and increase the production of pulses worldwide.
The Paris Climate Agreement was published at the end of last year. It's the first ever global climate deal that's legally binding, and it's been taken on by 195 countries around the world. Now, do pulses have a role to play?
Definitely, I think so. We need to be pushing for specific actions to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, and pulses can play a huge part in doing that within the food production industry.
So what I'm learning here is that there are really obvious environmental and health benefits when it comes to including pulses as part of our everyday diet. And that's a pretty great segue to the delicious aquafaba and chickpea recipe I've been preparing under the careful guidance of Jane Easton from Viva. That looks incredible, Jane. It looks just like mayonnaise.
Well, it tastes just like mayonnaise as well, and it's egg-free, so it's cholesterol-free.
The reason that I'm here today is because of the UN declaration that 2016 is Year of Pulses. Mm. So how important do you think it is that meat consumption is reduced on a global level?
I think it's massively important. In fact, the United Nations was the first major group to actually say that meat and dairy production were responsible for more CO2 emissions than all transport put together, and they actually put it on the plate. It had been known before then, but the UN coming out, if you like, over that was massively important. And I'm so pleased that they're also promoting pulses this year as well, because we all need to be switching to a more plant-based diet. There is a big link between what we eat and the diseases we get, and these are called the diseases of affluence for a good reason. We eat too much of the wrong foods.
If we could just return to the recipe for a moment, what's up next?
Well, I'm going to actually use the whole chickpeas now, and I'm going to make a dip. And rather than just use it for ordinary hummus, I'm going to add some nice little ingredients like chopped sun-dried tomatoes and chopped artichoke hearts.
I'll be tucking into the aquafaba mayo and chickpea dip in just a moment. Now, I've come to Warren Farm in Somerset in the UK, which is close to the famous Cheddar Gorge, home to the very British cheese that's exported worldwide. Talking to me now is James Small, farmer and National Farmers Union regional board chairman. Bit of a mouthful, James. Thank you for talking to me.
No worries. Good morning.
James, there's an argument that getting our protein from pulses like beans and lentils is much better for the environment than getting it from animal sources, even, say, cheese from grass-fed cows. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. I think actually that livestock production and also dairy production is very essential as part of a sustainable diet going forward, and it actually utilises grasses that we have growing here in the southwest, that simply that land cannot be used for other reasons or for other arable productions or for the productions of pulses.
So you don't think that we should be growing more legumes and pulses and increasing the amount of plant-based protein we have in our diets?
Well, look, as farmers, we produce to a market. If the consumer demands something, then as farmers, we will respond to it, whether that be here in the UK or on a global scale. If there is a demand for more pulses, then we will look at trying to produce that. But we are limited by the availability of the land that we have and what we can actually produce on that land.
But I can't imagine the situation in the UK is the same worldwide. In countries where pulses can be grown more easily, are there benefits to farming them over livestock?
I think that you have to look at it on a global scale. There are some areas of the world which may be able to produce different food types. And in those areas, I think then it's down to the market forces to actually drive as to say what should be produced there. You can't tell someone to produce something if it's losing the money to produce it. In the end, the consumer will decide. And we all decide that when we come to make our buying choices for the foods that we have to feed our families and to feed ourselves.
I think it's safe to say that there's controversy around the farming of pulses and whether universally we should be looking to limit livestock farming and increase pulse farming. But there's no doubt at all that pulses are very good for people. They're highly nutritious, low in fat, a high fibre source of protein and full of vitamins and minerals. They're a healthy choice. Not only are they good for people, but for the planet too, enriching soil and leaving a low carbon footprint. They're also a huge part of the future of sustainable food. So next time I reach for some chicken or cheese at the supermarket, I might grab myself some chickpeas instead.
That really is incredible, seriously. I love that. Oh, my word. Thank you.
My pleasure.